This episode is made possible by Affinity Solutions. Unlock your business's potential with actionable insights into consumer spending powered by Affinity Solutions. With exclusive insights from over 140 million cards, Affinity Solutions showcases consumer purchase behavior with unprecedented clarity. Seize the opportunity to reshape your strategy with accuracy, execute with precision, and measure with confidence. Affinity Solutions equips you to outperform in today's competitive landscape. Step into the future of analytics with Affinity Solutions today.
The vast majority of viewing now that we see is of your own choice, when you want it, how you want it. And the carriers are just not going to be able to charge the sorts of premium that they did previously for what had been the pinnacle of content, but might no longer be.
Hey gang, it's Thursday, December 7th. Paul, Peter, and listeners, welcome to the Behind the Numbers Daily and eMarketer podcast made possible by Affinity Solutions. I'm Marcus. Today I'm joined by two folks. We start with our VP of content. He is based just above New York City. It's Paul Werner.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Hey, fella. And we also have one of our directors of forecasting. He is based just above New York City. Kind of still in it, I guess, Peter. It's Peter Newman.
Hey, Marcus. Great to see you again. Yep, still in the city.
Okay. Technically, it's true. Welcome to the show. Today's fact. We've got some hippo facts. Of course we do. So, the common hippo is the third largest land animal after, of course, the African and the Asian elephants. Their skin weighs an actual ton. It's 2 meters thick and is 25% of their body weight. That's a lot to walk around with, isn't it? A ton of just their skin. They have 4 teeth. Which doesn't seem like nearly enough. And they can be very dangerous. They're not mean, but they can be dangerous. And by that I mean they're vegetarian. So if they try to kill you, it's because you're a terrible person. Or you've just trespassed, one of the two. But they can drown lions, they can snap a crocodile in half, they can drag sharks out of the water and then they stomp them. So yeah, killing a human, they'd make light work of that. And they can also, don't be like, oh, I'll just outrun it. They can run between 20 to 30 miles per hour.
I think, Marcus, you just undermined your fact, because I know you presented this as a fact and you called it the common hippo, but I think what you just described is a very uncommon animal. Nothing common about it.
Not at all. What we can all agree on is Hungry Hippos is a terrific family game. But I will look at it differently after this information. Today's real topic, how the US ad market will finish the year and what 2024 holds. In today's episode, first in the lead, we'll cover the US ad market. How's that doing? Then for another news, we'll discuss where ad blocking is at and a cable TV tipping point. We start, of course, with the leads. Gents, Daniel Konstantinovich writes that the US ad market grew just over 3% year on year in October, marking the fourth consecutive month of spending increases, according to the Standard Media Index ad market tracker. The ad market had seen negative monthly growth numbers for about a year up until this past July. So it was terrible for about a year up until July, and then it's been positive, 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 positive. But we're going to play Blame Pie. Paul, I'll start with you. Blame Pie is when we attribute shares to the reason why something has happened, and it has to make up 100%. You can have whatever reasons you want to in your pie. So Paul, what's most to blame for this sustained rebound?
Well, I'm going to cop out here. I'm going to give you a 5-part blame pie, and each slice is pretty much equal. So number one, ad budgets are locked in ahead of time, so they tend to get apportioned differently. It's sort of like the law of conservation of energy that says energy can't be created or destroyed. It can only be converted from one form to another. That's not 100% true, but there is some truth to that. So when advertisers shift, say, out of linear TV and put more into CTV, it's money that they've already budgeted. Second thing, a lot of the data on the ad business, at least the month-to-month data we're talking about, comes from companies like SMI, which are looking mostly at big holding companies. The same is true of analysts like Brian Weiser, who's very good at parsing the earnings of those big holding companies. So those are clearly bellwethers, but they're not the entire market. So we may be looking at something that maybe is not the full 100% picture. Mm-hmm. Third slice of my pie, inflation has been brought somewhat under control in the U.S. The economy in general is on more solid footing than in the second half of last year. The job market is healthy, so those are good indicators.
Yep.
Slice number four, social media made a rebound, again, especially compared with H2 of last year. CTV and retail media will see accelerated growth this year, despite being large and mature categories. So this is where a lot of the spending is going. And the last point is that AI has invigorated search, and it's starting to do the same for other ad formats. And I think we're going to see more of that in the coming years.
Okay. So I want to touch on you mentioned inflation. So to give folks some context there, it has been keeping its cool recently. It's been about 3-4% for the last 6 months and is way down from the 9% from last summer. So that's very encouraging. Employment numbers, they do remain strong. Overall unemployment, that's been under 4% for the last 2 years. And then specifically ad industry jobs reached a record over 500,000 in October, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, showing employers more comfortable making long-term hiring commitments. And then the final thing here, the overall economy you mentioned, looking pretty good. US GDP grew 5% in Q3. That's the fastest pace in nearly 2 years. It's double what it was in Q2, according to the US Bureau of Economic Analysis. Peter, does your blame pie look similar?
There's some overlap, but a few points I would be looking at a bit differently. So the biggest part of my pie that I'm looking at, what I sort of give a full half of the pie to, is the booming performance of retail media networks and Amazon in particular.
Okay.
So Amazon revenue for Q3 came in a bit above where we were expecting it to be even. So Amazon grew 26% in Q3 of this year.
Yeah.
And it's only set for further growth through the rest of the year, through Q4, mm-hmm. with Prime Day sales and the associated ads and positioning that everyone's trying to get as they try to get products just in front of consumers' eyes. But it's not limited to Amazon. Walmart is also having its ad business booming. Walmart Connect is up 40% every single quarter, it seems, this year. And other companies as well, Target, Kroger, everyone across this entire booming retail media space is just posting incredibly strong advertising numbers. And that is really driving so much of the incremental growth across our digital ad spend forecasts, across sort of everything that we're looking at.
Okay. So 50% for retail media?
I put 20% to what Paul was talking about as well, and what you were going on with, Marcus, about the sort of the booming economy that we're seeing. You know, we've got 5% GDP growth. We've got inflation around 3%. You know, we're seeing employment numbers still ticking up rather than going down. So there is just a strong market. And we saw drop-offs last year that were, in a lot of ways, people expecting the bottom to fall out of the market, but the bottom just never has, of the economy and then the wider ad market as well. And so instead, we have weak comps to compare to. So we're seeing really strong growth for companies. We're seeing a lot of ability to invest and a lot of budgets that are just getting spent out. Another 20% I'd give to the social space overall. So social network ad spending has been just very strong. We've seen Meta having very strong growth across both Facebook and especially on the Instagram side of things.
Mm-hmm.
It's posted quarterly growth over 20% for 2 quarters now. You know, it's back to 2020 growth numbers almost. And Meta is really by far the largest part of this, but not the only story either. As Daniel notes in the story we're talking about, you know, Snap having strong growth as well. Reddit is growing really strongly too. And then, of course, among the non-public side of things, there's TikTok, which has been continuing to post strong revenue numbers and is really taking up a large amount of the discourse. And everyone wants to be getting their ads there. So we're seeing TikTok growing in a way that we can't track quite as closely, but it's definitely pushing this up as well. The last little thing I would add, the last 10% that I'd be attributing comes from the sub-OTT space, so the likes of Netflix and Disney. Netflix is talking about how they have 15 million ad-supported viewers now, and they are still monetizing at a very high CPM. Netflix's ad-supported tier grew 70% from Q2 to Q3. 30% of worldwide signups now are signing up in its ad tier. So Netflix is really opening up basically completely uncharted space for advertising where it hadn't been before. Disney is doing a very similar thing. You're seeing huge amounts of people joining the Disney bundle or converting their Disney subscriptions onto the ad-supported side. So that's the last kind of little thing buoying the ad market that I'm looking at.
Yeah, you mentioned some of the digital ad giants there. Had a good Q3. Amazon, 26%. Meta, 24%. Google, their revenue's up 10%, ad-supported. Spotify was up 16%. Snap returned to growth as well with 5%. So that, very encouraging. All in spite of the war in Israel and Gaza, which caused a lot of brands to pull back initially, but it looks like they're spending again. Paul, we've talked about what's to blame for an encouraging 4 straight months of positive ad spending. What concerns you, though, the most about the state of the ad market?
I don't think I have any major concerns. I agree with Peter that there was an expectation last year that the bottom would drop out, a lot of it having to do with the economy, and we haven't seen that. I think, though, that there is a lot of disruption in the market. You know, we don't know what effect AI is going to have. TikTok is a big unknown, but a major force. But there's a lot we don't know about TikTok and how it will affect spending. And then I think with the economy, you know, we're still not completely out of the woods. There is a possibility that things could take a turn. I mean, you mentioned more global conflict. That's never good for the economy. And I think the way that situation came out of nowhere for most people indicates that other things could happen along those lines. So I think people are generally cautiously optimistic, but not feeling like, hey, you know, let's party like it's whatever. 2099. I don't know what the equivalent is going to be now that 1999 is way behind us.
Yeah, the two things you talked about, like globally, one thing to pay attention to is expected supply chain issues. And our retail analyst, Rachel Wolf, was explaining that crossings through the Panama Canal being drastically reduced as a result of ongoing drought conditions exacerbated by the El Nino weather system. The Panama Canal Authority expects daily crossings to be half their capacity by February. This is a big deal because 40% of US container traffic, it's about nearly $300 billion worth of stuff, goes through the Panama Canal every year. So any disruption to that could affect global trade, particularly in the US. And so that's something to watch because products aren't getting places. Maybe advertisers aren't spending trying to promote said products. The second thing here, though, is, Paul, you mentioned about we're not out of the woods in terms of the economy. If you look at the numbers, we are. We're in great shape. But if you speak to people, it's the worst time ever. And consumer sentiment kind of points to this. It can't get close to pre-pandemic levels. It's been falling since July, likely because of high interest rates. There's the war going on in Gaza, according to the University of Michigan. Student loan repayments starting back up as well. But the Consumer Confidence Board pointing to consumer confidence has been stuck below 110. It's not been able to break 110 since the start of 2022. Pre-pandemic, it was hanging out closer to 130. And so you do have this kind of strange, almost cognitive dissonance where Zach Stambor, one of our retail analysts, was explaining consumer spending patterns reflect the ongoing disconnect between reality and this prevailing narrative around the economy. Nearly everyone, 96% of US consumers, report being concerned about the current state of the economy, according to Intuit Credit Karma, despite what the economic data suggests. Peter, is this one of your biggest concerns or something else?
So not really. I was actually a bit different. My real worry for 24 and beyond is just thinking about what the proliferation of AI is going to do to especially the search market and the search experience. So as I don't know if you've started doing this, I will sometimes tack Reddit onto the end of a Google search to try to get real people, to find real people. The idea of trying to find real answers, you know, human written answers, is something that people are going to be doing on search. And having a way to separate that out, having a way to actually make that something clear is a gigantic problem for the companies in search and how they're going to still be able to sort of demonstrate performance while essentially dealing with drastically lower click-through is what I expect to be happening. They're going to be seeing click rates going so far down because people are going to be looking for much more specific things. That's basically my worry about the state of the digital ad market, is that there's going to be a search for humanity and that there's not the infrastructure to really be supporting that yet. So I think you're going to see companies want to really put their money and their ad investments where they're able to generate performance, where they're able to see good measurement and not be facing questions of whether this is actually going to be working or not.
I agree with that. I think it's analogous to, if we can all remember this far back, to when YouTube and Facebook were considered platforms that nobody wanted to touch from an advertising perspective because of all the uncertain user-generated content. I think Gen AI-driven search is similar in that it's a bit of a wild card as to what you're going to get. It's harder to monetize those results. But I think in the same way that the industry figured out how to crack that code for those giant user-generated content platforms, I think a similar thing will happen with search and with the AI presence throughout advertising. It is going to take a while, and I think to Peter's point, certainly next year and probably maybe a year or two after are going to be a bit rocky as everybody tries to figure all that out.
Let's look ahead to 2024 to close the lead. What do we expect, Peter? You and the forecasting crew expect a real bounce. 5% growth in total media ad spending this year, and that's going to 10% next year. So doubling next year. That's because $11 billion in political ad spend. We're expecting Summer Olympics in Paris, Men's Euro Cup. So those events will all help to give total ad spending in the US a lift next year. WARC also expects a rebound. Global ad spending for them rising to 8% in 2024 from 4.4 this year. That's all we've got time for the lead. Let's move straight to the second half of the show, gents, today in other news. What's going on with ad blocking and a tipping point for cord cutters? Story one, mobile and desktop ad blocking rates are experiencing a gradual uptick, according to ad filtering tech firm IO, writes Adweek's Trishla Oswal. She notes that buoyed by the work from home trend, the rate of ad blocking by Americans on desktops reached 27% and 22% on mobile phones this past summer. She explains that before 2021, rates of ad blockers leveled off after publishers started urging folks to deactivate ad blockers to access content or adopting acceptable ads standards to show people lighter ad loads. But Paul, the most interesting sentence in this article about the ad blocking rates ticking up is what and why.
So the most interesting part of the article for me was the focus on download rates of ad blockers. And I would argue, without casting any aspersions on IO's content or their research, that installs of ad blocking apps don't necessarily translate to activity. And the reason I say that is that I'm hard pressed to find a publisher site these days that doesn't simply not allow you to access the content if you have an ad blocker. It used to be, as the article says, that they would discourage you from using an ad blocker, but now it's just simply like a gate that shuts unless you disable your ad blocker. So you may have that ad blocker installed, but I would want to dig deeper to find out what the actual rates of activity are, not just how many people are installing the blockers.
Yep. 2 points for me on this. One, the article noting how costly ad blocking is, IO estimates that publishers around the world will lose $54 billion in ad revenue due to ad blocking next year. That's around 8% of total global ad spend. And then two, there's over 900 million, nearly a billion active ad blocking users worldwide across mobile and desktop, according to IO. But to Paul's point, difference between being a user and how much you use it. Story two. Cord cutters will outnumber cable subscribers by the end of the year, writes Tony Maglio of Yahoo Finance. He's citing our wonderful forecast team who expect people who do not pay for cable, those who do not, to outnumber those who do for the first time ever by the end of this year, 2023. The folks who don't pay for cable are a combination of cord cutters, had cable, got rid of it, and cord nevers, never had cable in your life, possibly because you grew up with streaming. Peter, what's the significance of this cord-cutting milestone, cord cutters outnumbering cable subscribers by the end of this year?
The significance of the number of cord cutters and cord nevers surpassing the pay TV viewers is really playing out across the board in the relationships between companies in the media space. There's a great discussion here about how the Disney versus Charter dispute from earlier in the year was really just about how cable TV carriers want to be valuing the live networks that they're getting. They don't want to be paying a premium for linear content when more than half of people now are not viewing this linear content. They're viewing things digitally. They're viewing things on demand. Mm-hmm. They're viewing things, in some instances, you know, it's being served to them without their choice. But the vast majority of viewing now that we see is of your own choice, when you want it, how you want it. And the carriers are just not going to be able to charge the sorts of premium that they did previously for what had been the pinnacle of content, but might no longer be.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. This is a milestone, no doubt, but it's just a tipping point. People watching cable is not going away anytime soon. By 2027, the end of our forecast period, there's still going to be 44 million households in the US with cable. That's 3 in 10 American households. So it's going down. It's not disappearing anytime soon. That's all we've got time for this episode. Thank you so much to my guests. Thank you to Paul.
Thanks so much for having me, Marcus.
Of course, of course. Thank you to Peter.
Hey, thanks, Marcus. This is great.
Yes, indeed. Thank you to Todd, who's editing this episode. Thank you to James, who copy edits the show, Stuart, who runs the team, and Sophie, who does our social media. Thanks to everyone for listening in. We hope to see you tomorrow for the Behind the Numbers weekly listen, the marketing podcast made possible by Affinity Solutions.